In the middle of the night, I go walking in my sleep.
Hello, welcome back to Blacker Couch Reviews. I'm your host, Christina. We got a movie review all the way from 1981, Quest for Fire. In French, it's La Grève des Fous. It's a prehistoric fantasy adventure film directed by Jean-Jacques Annaud, written by Gerald Brock, and based on the Quest for Fire story or novel by J.H. Rosny, produced by Denise Herou and John Kemeny. The cast includes Everett McGill as Noah, Ron Perlman as Amukar. This was actually Ron Perlman's film debut, and he did an outstanding job. Namir El Kadi as Gaul, Ray Dong Chong as Ika, and a whole list of other names that I don't feel like we really need to name because we don't really know these characters. But if you want to go in IMDb and look at them, you can certainly look them up. But primarily, the film follows these four. The premise is the Alam tribe of cavemen are carefully guarding a small flame, which they possess to start larger fires, when suddenly they are attacked by a cannibal group and displaced from their cave dwelling. They lose the fire, and the one chosen is Noah, along with two of his comrades, which are Ron Perlman's character, Amukar and Gaul, to go on this search for fire to bring back to them. So that's the premise of said movie. Behind the scenes, a lot of people thought that this was going to be a flop because it's a very ambitious film. We're talking about very little dialogue, a made-up language, a primordial period in human history. So a lot needs to be communicated via the eyes and the actions, and then you had to get the movements right of what a prehistoric man would be walking like, not quite Neanderthal level, but out of the jungle, out of the ape like form, but no longer with all of the hair, even though the cannibals that attack them do have hair. And I like that they're showing that despite what they teach you in school in those grade charts, that it wasn't just this leap to Homo sapien, and that Homo sapiens were not actually populating the planet alone. We had other different species around us of man that we were all from, and we just ended up being the dominant and most likely interbreeded with the Neanderthals to their extinction. But there were plenty of archetypes of man before Homo sapiens took the reins. And I like that the group that we meet is more of a Homo sapien tribe, whereas the group we follow are more of a Neanderthal. So I suppose, even though, because we know now, based on the film when it was made, they probably thought this was the very fantasized version of what the Neanderthal was like, that they weren't really smart and they didn't know how to use tools and so on and so forth. And we've learned that that is just a complete misconception, and that they had their own strengths. But in the mindset of someone from 1981, sure, they were taking the information they did know and effectively make a story about the interactions between these two similar but different species. If you can't tell by the way I'm talking about the movie, I really loved it. It had a budget of $12 million. They thought it was going to flop. It actually made $55.2 million. So it was a success. It's 100 minutes running time. Cinematography is by Claude Agostini, edited by Yves Langlois, and the music by Philippe Sardé. There wasn't too much music in this film, and that is a good thing, even though they did a really good job at the cinematography. Despite it, yes, not being upgraded. I don't even know what the type of technology that is that makes a movie that's older look a little bit more modern, but someone needs to get on that. Because I think this is a very important film to watch because it's so unique and it does have a lot of emotion to it. It has a lot of heart to it that you wouldn't expect at its premise. The writing and characterization, the special language forms were created by novelist Anthony Burgess, while patterns of movement and gesture were developed by anthropologist Desmond Morris. The more advanced language of the Avaka, which was Ica's people, the Ash people, if you want to call them, was largely based on the Cree and the Inuit, native peoples of northern Canada, which caused some amusement among those in this group who saw the film, since the words have little to do with the plot. The Ulam are portrayed as stereotypical, here we go, Neanderthal-style cavemen in an intermediate stage of development compared to the ape-like Wakubu, which is the one that attacked them in the beginning, and the culturally more advanced Ivaka on the other hand. The Ulam or Ulam and the Ivaka are depicted as like pigmented, the Kazam as red-haired, and the Ivaka are depicted as using body ornamentation, jewelry, body paint, masks, etc. Something that was only associated with Homo sapiens, but we find out that Neanderthals also had their own ways of expressing themselves. They filmed this movie in the Scottish Highlands. So the Scottish Highlands at that time in history is where I'm referencing the cinematography. The opening sequence was filmed at the Cathedral Grove on Vancouver Island in British Columbia for the forest scenes, whereas the cave home was filmed at Greg's Caves on the Bruce Peninsula along the Niagara Escarpment near Lion's Head, Ontario. Some scenes involving mammoths were filmed in Iceland. Michael D. Moore was the associate producer in charge of action and animal scenes. Circus elephants were trained for 6 months to behave like mammoths. When it came time to film them in Iceland, strict laws about transporting four-legged animals into the country delayed their arrival. Then a volcano erupted nearby the ranch where they would have been staying that would have killed the animals had they been there.
Today's your lucky day.
There were, of course, other things that were terrible about filming. If you couldn't tell, it was cold as hell, and they had to walk around with no shoes on. So yeah, not the best time to be half naked out in the middle of nowhere, making movements and being very, very visceral in your acting. But it was just so heartwarming to see this kind of coming of age story as the boys, they leave home, they're looking for fire, and they come across the predators in the world, the bears, that was at the end, but the cougars out there, the mammoths, the way they have to survive out there, not just against other humans, but against the apex predators of the day, because we were not it. Not at that time. I thought the movements were so well conceived. And the emotional fallout of the violence witnessed was also really well done. I actually watch a lot of documentaries on apes and monkeys because I find their behavior. And we don't want to humanize. I get that part. They're not human. But to say that there's no connective behavior between our two species is bullshit. That's not putting my human traits on them. That they display very human-like tendencies. And I think finally, in the last couple of years, there's been more talk about that. But in this movie, they do really good at showing the excitement of things and how at the end, despite killing, there's this moment of high anxiety that they express by making noise and, you know, the anxiousness of their movements. I liked even the scene when we go to them in the cave and they're all on top of each other, man, woman. They say this is how Neanderthals had babies and why they may have mated themselves out of existence. But there is the comfort of closeness. It's also why dominant males in a group tend to kick out the younger males to find another group or tribe, because they will totally fuck their mama, sister, cousin, whomever, daughter, due to comfort. That's just, despite it being wrong, it happens, and it happens disturbingly often in the animal kingdom if you don't have a strong leader to not allow that to continue to be a thing. I feel like all the sons try to get one on their mamas unless the mama has already snapped that shit. Like, nope, not a chance. I digress. Just showing them grooming each other, I thought was a nice, that's when they were picking out the lice. It's typically grooming behavior to still, because we probably did still have some of those very ape-like traits. And grooming was a way of social interaction. Sharing stories around the fire, the importance of fire. The wolves are circling, a metaphor for all the dangers out there. Without fire, you're vulnerable. Without fire, you cannot eat your food to make it easily more digestible, to improve the power in your brain. It is essential. It has been essential to the human species. So having lost it after this very violent interaction with this other group, and they go on to this mission, they don't know how to make fire on their own. They've just captured it, which is usually what our species did as well. From lightning, it would strike the forest and they just go grab some brushels, and that's how they thought they got lightning, until eventually they figure out how to do it ourselves. And I love that that comes full circle. Our trio end up finding a group. Well, first they spend the night on a tree, and I love they just started eating the branches, and in the morning all the branches are gone. They see deer and they're foaming at the mouth in hunger, and they're even using their spears there, constructed spears, to imitate. I just thought that was just a perfect touch to, I'm hungry. I can't get to what I want, but I still want it and I still desire it. And they very outwardly emote that. They end up running into the cannibal group. They distract them to steal their fire, even though our hero, Noah, has to go toe-to-toe with the biggest guy they have. There's a lot of aggressive movements. Once again, I think it's because I watch so much ape and monkey documentaries that it's so relevant to that there's not so much physical interaction all the time, because, you know, getting injured is a risk. So most of the time it's about the show of authority, the show of aggression, scaring off your opponent by proving your own machoism in some type of way. And despite both of them really not wanting to get physical, they know that physical violence is what it's going to lead to. And my boy got his nuts bitten.
Oh, Lord.
But is able to win the battle, is able to get the fire. He's now effectively in this trio, the dominant male. Ika, who was a captive and was fighting the other person, man, that was a very brutal scene, just seeing them hanging there. And they have an arm missing because the cannibals are just eating his arm. There's no commentary. It's just the brutality of this world. But everyone's not cannibals, because when the trio find their own fire, or one of the leftover fires, they see the meat is that of human and they're disgusted by it. So love the way they show the differences between the groups and their own code, their own morality. Morality. Is that the right word? Just as when the one guy that died, he carried his friend all the way. He wouldn't have left him behind because that's the emotional attachment that he had to him. And they have that emotional attachment between the trio. They end up taking her along with them after she ends up healing Noah. That was one of the funny laugh out loud moments when Amakor is trying to pick up all of these, looks like cucumbers, and he keeps picking up more and more, but they keep falling out and he keeps picking them up. And then when they finally do get to the camp, she's just, her head's just, I'm pretty sure she may have like licked it or something, but that was certainly one of the funniest moments. She seems to introduce them to laughter, and that endears her to them. My boy Amakor saw homegirl just laying there and decided he was going to inch on over. Honestly, Ron Perlman should have won an Oscar for his performance. I mean, he did a fantastic, he was committed. He understood the assignment for this role. But of course, she prefers Noah. And yes, in case you're uncomfortable seeing it, there is the uncomfortable rape in this movie. You can't call it anything else. The girls from their group go to the stream to wash themselves. They bend over and one of the guys just goes up behind her and gets in. In our sense of the world, yes, that's what it would be. But it also is simply animal behavior. And at this point in their, in our existence, this was the norm. There was no asking of permission. There was no courting. It was simply see, take, fight for dominance. If you're willing to fight for the dominance, to have the rights to mate with said female. And despite her cozying up to Noah, he takes her right then and there in front of everyone to let everyone know she's mine, don't touch. And that is very indicative of ape and monkey traits as well. The male dominant has his harem, or has the high ranking females, which is interesting when we get over to the Avaka tribe, where he's taken in after being stuck in a quicksand. I thought it was like a bog, which is great natural protection for their area. I did laugh when the other two were equally stuck and screaming. But he ends up going back because he wakes up and she's trying to get them to go with her and they don't. So she ends up leaving, but he and they have become connected to her. Well, mostly him, and they don't want to leave their boy. So they decide to go with him to find her, even though they have what they need. So it's about family. It's about a brothership, a kinship. There's no fighting between them. There's not the typical things that you see. It is leaning into the more humanistic traits of what is a rather primordial being. And when he gets there, I'm not sure. There's two ways I can look at this. Because typically in monkey and ape behave, and I keep saying, but let's just say, what's the word I'm looking for? I can't think of it because my brain is very fuzzy right now. I am so high, I can hear ever. Fuck it. We're just going to go with apes and I'm going to stop referencing monkeys. That's my compromise with my brain. But in ape society, usually the fattest women are considered the ones that have power because they're eating, they get first dibs at the food, and they're protected by the high-ranking males. There seems to be a chieftain in this tribe, and he is forced to have sex with these women, or it could be looked at as if these women are the lowest of the low. No one will mate with them, and we're going to force you to mate with them. Because he feels, after learning how to make fire, that he belongs there. He kind of assimilates rather quickly when his boys show up and want to rescue him. And when Ika tries to go and lay with him, she's thrown out. It seems as if she is inferior to them. So I'm going to go with that theory, but it could be taken the other way. They just knock their boy out because they ain't got time for these games. Like, you were brainwashed, so we gonna brain in your skull so that you can get the help that you need. And Ika ends up going with them because of the connection that they formed. Amakor, who certainly was my favorite character, if you could not tell, dropping that big ass rock on my boy Gaul. He bleeding and shit and they all laughing, but they understand what laughter is. And them forming that bond meant something because she decided to leave her family, leave her position to go with the person that she feels an emotional connection to. And they spoke so much with just their eyes and their movements. And it's just as much as a coming age of story for Ika as it is for them, because she's young and she's also deciding to leave home and discover this new world out there. And we see that through her perspective of just watching the birds in the sky. And she sees the kindness in Noah because she saw the scene where he went up to the mammoth and offered grass to them because he knows that's what they want and what they desire. And just recognizing that there's a communicative language between these two species, that they don't see differences between the other the way we do. All of that is just fantastic. And then at the end, their glory is taken away from them when their fire is stolen and the others go back and say, hey, look what we did. But they're so stupid that they didn't realize that putting fire in water is not how you keep fire. And it seems as if it's all for nothing, right? Even when you have Noah trying to to do what he was taught. And this is just one of the most brilliant touches of this movie, because that could have and would have nowadays, especially with how we definitely prop up male protagonists juxtaposed against female protagonists, that you don't have the male accomplishing it in the end, right? The real and the true reward in their quest is the meeting of someone else, someone new, and meeting that person, the exchange of knowledge between them, she's able to take over and show them, because this is what she's probably been taught since she was born, how to make fire. And she passes that on. And then she has a child with Noah. She also teaches him about the missionary position. Another great scene in the movie, because he takes her from behind. Actually reminds me of the scene in Game of Thrones between Drogo and Daenerys, where she gets on top and she shows him, like, there's another way to do this that can create an intimacy and not make me feel as if I'm a steed to be mounted. And she finds pleasure in that as well. And that is what love is just not only the act of sexual gratification, but the intimacy between the two people. And here go motherfucking Akamor over here next in the cave. I love that they gave him privacy as well. And their next thing, he's just like, they're both making the movement, right? Cause they're aroused by them being aroused, and he doesn't have anyone, and he tries to go for Gaw's leg.
I think the fuck not, you trick ass bitch.
I am so glad that he lived. I'm so glad, even though someone was licking off his blood from the bear wounds. But yeah, I cannot recommend this movie enough. I gave it a 9.2 out of 10. I just think it's a masterful piece of cinema. Yes, it looks very grainy, and it could be a tough sell to many to want to watch this, but it's not intended to be a scientifically accurate documentary of a point in prehistory. It's none of those things. It's just an imagining of what it would have been like. And putting that on the screen in a very poignant manner that would resonate through time is the success of this for me. Because I don't think I said at the top of the hour that this is not the first time I've watched this movie. This is the second time. I've not been able to find it anywhere. I stumbled upon it in the library like years ago. So I was pretty geeked when I saw it on Amazon Prime, which is where you can find it if you're interested in watching. That is my review. If you have thoughts, blackercouch@gmail.com, or you can leave a comment below. My social media will be there as well. Like, share, subscribe. Until the next time, peace, hair grease, and blacker magic. I'm